Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. Where last we left the Paco, a pair of Verdanturf Preparatory Academy students paid a visit to the Berry Master's berry farm in the morning in efforts to collect data for their assignments that are due at the start of the semester. After so kindly being given a tour, their suspicious behavior began to be noticed by the Paco, and allegedly named Saki and Nickel attempted to sequester Cabbage. Reacting quickly, Elodie instructed Cabbage to call upon ancestral fey magic, triggering a random effect that caused Cabbage to multiply into 5 identical Cabbages, for better or for worse. Schmidt saw an opportunity to instruct Quacko to smack Saki as she made her escape. As we now enter this initiative order proper, what will Schmidt, Gimli, Elodie, Cindy, and Gimli do? But first, the alleged school kids are at the top of the initiative order, and I would like Elodie to make a D10 roll so that I can assign which cabbage is Cabbage Prime. If it's not clear, there's 5 cabbages, and then the D10 is, there's 2 numbers per cabbage, and that will just decide.
6.
All right. Cabbage Prime has been identified. We will start with Matane. Matane is just going to try and grab the nearest cabbage that is right in front of it. This is the cabbage that is furthest from the rest of the party. Going to request a dexterity save to not get captured, because making you roll dice is more fun. Please make a DC 13 dex save for Cabbage Elodie.
15.
This cabbage manages to kind of slink out of the way. Isn't caught by Matane, and Matane kind of gyrates in a way that is frustrated as it floats in the air. Is gyrate the right word there? I don't know. It's too late. It has already been used. Let's see. So Nickel gave that command to the Matane. Saki fell, so she's going to consume her movement to stand up. And she will instruct Leafeon to attack Quacko, who is right behind her. Leafeon is going to actually kick up some soil and attempt to blind Quacko with a sand attack. Please have Quacko make a DC 15 con save.
Dirty 20.
Will not be affected by the sand attack. Last but not least, Gimme Ghoul, who is now like kind of at a flank to the party, is going to move up. Climb the wall of the berry farm towards the window to the room that Elodie was staying in. And that will be it for the baddies. Schmidt, it is your turn.
How far away is Gimme Ghoul?
From you, just merely 10 feet and then about 5 or 10 feet up the wall. So horizontally, just 10 feet.
And Gimme Ghoul is pure ghost.
He's not even money type? What the fuck is this?
He hasn't got the money yet.
He has one
money.
Trying
to get that money.
He's got one money.
Doesn't he need like 1,000 money?
That's a lot of setup, but that might be really funny.
That's what makes it worth it.
But it would be like 3 turns before it pays off. Okay, yeah, I'll do it. I will have Gabriel skill swap onto Gimme Ghoul.
Oh, fascinating. I think that subjects Gimme Ghoul to what kind of wisdom save?
You attempt to swap abilities to the creature for 1 minute to a wisdom saving throw. It does not say what the saving throw is.
Oh, it should say in the power? Is there not a number?
Oh, 15.
Okay, yes. DC 15 wisdom save on Gimme Ghoul. And remind me, this is Kecleon, and what is their nickname?
Gabriel.
Gabriel the Kecleon, very good. Making a wisdom save. Got a natural 1. They fail.
Hell yeah.
Kecleon fires a multicolored laser from the stripe on its chest, and there's kind of a glowing between Gabriel and the Gimme Ghoul, and it appears that they have switched their abilities. Kecleon is now the proud owner of Runaway, and Gimme Ghoul now has color change.
Oh, was that the same one Walter has?
Does Walter still have it? I believe he does.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Pokemon can never be the target of opportunity attacks and excels at disengaging. Actually, that's kind of broken.
It's yeah, Runaway's actually good in D&D. Yeah, that's
No, that's pretty great. So you should have another action and then bonus actions as well?
Yes. So it's... Leafeon has not taken any damage, right? None of the Leafeon... Pokemon have taken any damage.
Metane has taken damage. And Leafeon, they took damage from the Dazzling Gleam Blast.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, I'll just have Quacko Air Cutter the Leafeon.
Okay. Is that a roll to hit?
That is a roll to hit.
Okay, please do make that roll. Sorry, is Air Cutter a ranged attack?
Yes.
Technically, not to get in the weeds here of D&D battle mechanics, if you use a ranged attack at point blank, it is at disadvantage. You're welcome to move, if you wish.
Is it point blank, though? Hold on.
I should say adjacent to, like in melee range, which you are 5 feet from. You could also just move Quacko. You could just do that.
Or I could just not air slash.
Yeah, up to you.
Never mind.
Yeah, we'll just regular slash.
Okay.
Then
that works.
This is a 24 break the armor class.
It definitely does. You're welcome to roll damage.
26. 26. Points of normal type damage.
As the slash connects and cuts into the foliage-like bodily structures that Leafeon has. Leafeon is looking fairly beat up. A solid blow. Any bonus actions for Schmidt in this combat?
Yes. I have evasive stances.
Okay. Do you have a limit on those, or are you just bonus action every turn kind of thing?
Just may use their bonus actions to impose disadvantage.
There you go. That works. Which targets in sight are you choosing?
One target. Okay. Do I think these kids are going to fight dirty?
Yeah, for sure.
I think they're going to fight dirty.
Okay. I want Gabriel to evasive stance the Gimme Ghoul for any sort of retaliation. I want Quacko's evasive stance on the Leafeon and Schmidt to evasive stance on the Metang.
Okay. Very good. Will Schmidt also have any movement in this round?
Let me go back to the map.
Sure. And I've never really set the scene, so let me just describe it just for fun. This combat is taking place in the garden area prior to reaching the berry farm proper. There's a fenced off area between on Route 123 where the berry farm lives, in this little, kind of lawn, you could say, for the berry farm is where this battle is taking place. To the north, there are lots and lots of plots of berries, as well as a tool shed. And then behind you to the east is the berry farm house, the manor. And then to the west, there is a forest.
So that M on the far side is the Metang.
Correct. And remember, you can use, not Schmidt anymore, but everyone can use actions on their turn to narrow down which cabbage is cabbage prime, if they can think of a flavorful way to do so.
Schmidt just gets movement and no action, right?
Correct. And you've already used your bonus action, but you can move somewhere.
Yeah. I think Schmidt will just move up to right under the little cross where the cabbages are.
Okay.
Just get himself in the mix over there. Just be prepared to grab one if he identifies cabbage prime.
Okay. So he's probably going to be walking past Leafeon, which would provoke an attack of opportunity. Do you accept this?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Is Leafeon a good shit on me?
Leafeon going to slice at Schmidt with the leaf blade on its head. 22 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Okay. Rolling damage, which will be halved as we typically do for Pokemon on human damage. A good old 5 points of damage. It was a pretty low roll.
Nice. That put Schmidt at 69 HP.
Nice.
Nice.
Do you have any flavor to add to your turn, considering your action economy is spent?
Nope.
Okay.
Just positioning.
Next in our initiative is actually Gimli.
So, who's the L in front of me?
Leafeon. So, yeah, to describe your position, you are kind of against, you're at the open gate that leads to this garden area, and in front of you to your left is Leafeon, who's in a kind of, who's just swiped at Schmidt as he was walking by, but was also engaged in combat with Quacko.
Okay. So, I haven't pulled anyone out for combat yet.
Correct.
So, what I'm going to do is bring out Toidle. So drop kicks in, and then we are going to try to pave a way into the section with Twirtle into Leafeon. So I'm going to hit Leafeon with a flamethrower.
Okay, what? That's a dex save from Leafeon?
That is a dex save, yes. Okay.
The DC should be 16 dex.
Yeah, it is 16. I checked that. Okay, cool.
Well, Leafeon did pass. They got a natural 17.
Oh, lovely. So
they will take half damage. Remember your drought bonus. What is that bonus? Do you know off the top of your head?
Let me see. Our sunlight, fire attacks deal additional flat damage equal to my proficiency bonus. Which with Oracle is that 5? Yeah, it's 5. Okay.
Proficiency? Torkoal should be okay. 4.
Okay, no, you're right. That is 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So we add 4 to the damage, and I do 3d10 plus 8. So let me roll that.
Yep.
And it should just be neutral, right? Because it's half, but then super effective. Correct, yes. Correct. We'll just keep it the same. So it'd be 25 plus 5 is 30. Or plus 4 is 29. Sorry. There we go. So 29 damage.
Okay. Leafeon is knocked out. Leafeon kind of withers and falls, and Saki recalls Leafeon and clutches at a different Pokeball at her side. What's next for Gimli?
I still have actions. So how close am I? So I still have my movement. I still have an action, right? Because the Pokeball at the start of a battle doesn't really count. Right?
That's a trainer action.
Okay. So I only have movement then.
You should have one more. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I feel like we've determined... Didn't we determine that at, like...
Yeah, it's the start. It's the start. That's fine.
You can let out your Pokemon.
Yeah, you can let out one. That's fine. We'll allow it. Take an additional action.
Mm. It looks like you're standing in, like, the gate.
Correct.
Like blocking them. So you don't, I mean, obviously do whatever you want to do, but you don't want to allow them an opportunity to escape.
Yeah, I guess I can't punch a child in the face, huh?
I mean,
oh, you absolutely can.
You could. I've already slashed a child in the back. Like, it's fine.
Well, I know, but then it would compromise my position because for me to go to punch a child in the face, like, which one's the other child? It's the Q. Yeah.
And Nickel.
Nickel.
Q is probably Quacko.
Q is Quacko.
Oh, that is Quacko. That
oh, it's B2. Quacko. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. I'm like, where's the N?
Yeah.
I was struggling. Okay, so B1 then is the girl. A check child and a woman.
Check voice text.
You didn't collude out loud, guys. I'm not like...
everybody was talking. I didn't want to interrupt.
I'm controlling the antagonist. I'm not the antagonist.
So you think I should hold the position?
Yeah. I mean, do whatever you want, but...
So I'll hold a position at the gate, but I'll do it in such a way that I'm preparing myself to stop someone from coming through. So we can prepare that action, so I should get...
That's a really good held action.
Yeah. It's a pretty solid held action, yeah.
Sorry, could you just reiterate for my sake what the held action is one more time?
So I'm going to hold my position, but prepare myself to stop someone from going through this gate.
Okay, so your action that you're holding is if someone comes, you're going to try and stop them.
That's right. I'm going to try to grapple them, yes.
Great. And mm-hmm. Toidle is your only Pokemon in combat, correct?
Toidle is the only Pokemon in combat.
Okay. Any other stuff for you?
No, that would be it.
Okay. Everyone notes that as Toidle hits the field, it gets notably hotter. Not only is Toidle exuding heat and smoke from her turtly body, but she creates an effect of an illusory additional sun in the sky that is beaming down on you all that seems like it may empower fire types and weaken water types. The berries in the plots seem to be enjoying it. They are kind of waving in the wind and photosynthesizing extra at this time. Next up in the initiative order is Elodie. What will you be doing?
Yes. So, first of all, let me check in. Does anybody's current plans involve using status conditions? Okay, good.
I was gonna start a magma storm.
Currently.
Understandable.
That's not a status condition, though.
No.
Yeah, we can consider that a status condition.
That's a chaos condition. Anyway, continue. So true. I'm going to have the cabbages use Missy terrain.
All of them.
Well,
yeah, I suppose they would.
They kind of have to.
Yeah, they kind of do. Yeah, so I think this will just be a much larger misty terrain. I'm not sure if we can really amplify the effects? Unless you have any good flavor for that.
Yeah,
I don't really know what that would look like.
I think just, we would suggest probably that it's just a much larger radius.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay, what is the default radius on Misty Terrain?
60 feet.
Okay, we'll just say that this, like, this little map that I've drawn you, just, like, this entire chunk of the route is encompassed in Misty Terrain. There's, like, kind of a pink cloudy fog that emerges from the ground as all of the cabbages summon a fey force among them that causes the ground to be enchanted with fairy magic.
Cool. And then, as a bonus action, they will all Misty Step to the other side of the fence.
No way! Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, they can do that. That's really cool. Borrowing the terminology from D&D 5e proper, all the cabbages Misty Step, keeping their star-like formation to the other side of the fence that onto the Route 123 proper outside of the berry farm. How many feet?
So they can do up to 30 feet, so just as far as they can go, I guess.
Okay, sure. They will move 30 feet to the south as they cross the fence, as they all teleport. Very good. What else for Elodie?
Cool. How's Quacko looking? I know I kind of hit him with a bit of a dazzling gleam.
He's been chunked a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, that's what it was. He was hit with a dazzling gleam.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention he's
like in yellow HP.
Okay. Elodie will administer a super potion to Quacko.
Great. What is that formula?
In apology. I don't know.
I was going to say, you rolling out a reminder.
Okay.
I don't have the super potion formula written down either.
Uh-oh.
What the fuck?
While we determine that, Elodie, you do get a bonus to administering heals. What does that look like?
Yes. Recover an additional die of HP, as well as we're on Misty Terrain, so that's another additional die.
Great. Why don't you roll that?
Cool. Did you put it
in? Oh, yes. Apologies.
Rules and cheats.
Yes. So super potion formula is 3d6 plus 6.
That's 20.
Nice.
20 HP as Quacko gets spritzed with a super potion from Elodie's inventory. Mark that off of your inventory, please. It seems like this pink cloudy fog that is on the ground seems to enhance the effect of the super potion.
Awesome.
Anything else for Elodie?
Elodie should also have a bonus action with which I can give a party time. I will give a party time to Gimli. So that's a D8 that you may use as you please.
Do you have any flavor for it? You don't have to, but if you do, I'd like to know.
I like the callback to Gimli always being right. So I'll say something about Gimli being right.
Okay, good. Just a little morale boost. Perfect. About his father-like nature for the group.
That would be my turn.
Okay. Thank you very much, Elodie. Very cool. Up next is Cindy.
How many of us are in range of a 20-foot circle centered on...
like all of us.
Centered on who? Like if you were sent out a Pokemon?
Well, no, I'm going to send out... If I haven't... I guess Cookie's not out yet. I'm sending out Cookie.
It just depends on where you target this 20-foot circle.
So let me look at the.
You should be able to get Metang and B2. I can't remember.
Nickel.
For sure.
Yeah, you could definitely isolate them. If you want to get closer to like where Saki is, you might run into some trouble.
So if I drop it right where the cabbages were.
Yeah. You'll ignite some berry plants. You'll burn a chunk of the fence, and you'll get all of the baddies and no one else. Right. If you put it like in the middle of the cabbage pack where they used to be, you'll hit Quacko. But you could just move it.
But I can
once
give I can
left.
But I can give Quacko the special.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Special fancy don't get hit juice.
Yeah.
It's not juice.
What's it called?
It is. It just says whenever a Pokemon commands
by Cindy. Does it not have a name?
I guess not.
Hold on, are you sure?
Not that I wrote down. If it did have a name, I'm so sorry.
Gosh dang it. Well, what are we naming it? We need a name for the ability.
Friendly Fire.
It's called Firebender.
Firebender.
Yeah. It's called Firebender.
Friendly Fire is good, though.
Yeah, Friendly Fire is also good. Yeah, you can change the name if you want. Just for clarity, so that you all know, I may have stolen sculpt spells from the Evoker Wizard from 5e, but whenever Pokemon commanded by Cindy level 10 or higher uses a move that requires a DC save, she may choose a number of non-hostile people or Pokemon for a total amount equal to her proficiency bonus who are caught in the range to save with advantage. If the chosen characters make the save, they suffer no effects from the attack at all. If they fail, they take half of the effect. So, all of that to say, do you want to drop your 20-foot circle in a way that may implicate Quacko?
Ideally, I want to hit all the bad guys. Who's L? What's L?
Leafeon. Leafeon has already fainted, correct.
Yes.
If you target Gimme Ghoul, you will burn down your house. So I would recommend
not doing that. I will not
if
be
you
doing
can,
that.
If you can handle everyone again. And not kill Quacko, I can. I have a plan for the Gimme Ghoul.
Okay, I will bestow upon Quacko the blessing of friendly fire. And
okay.
I think that's just what we're calling it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I feel really like good. It's accurate.
No, it is.
It's literally it's like friendly literally fire, like you're firing fire. On your friends, but it's yeah. also like, oh, I'm making the fire friendly for my, so it's not
for
hurting
my friends.
Yes. And Cookie is higher than level 10, right? They're like 12 or something.
Oh, yeah. I think Cookie's my highest level Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah, they do have to be level 10 for
Cookie's
it.
Level 13.
Okay. Yeah, perfect.
And the proficiency bonus is 5, so I could theoretically protect more of us, but I don't think that... I need to in the 20-foot circle.
Correct. It is not necessary. Okay. So yeah. So will you drop a Magma Storm?
Yes.
Okay.
That I'm is going... a DC 18 con save.
It's con. I thought it was dex.
It does say con.
Okay. If it's con, it's con. I believe it. Okay. All these people in Pokemon must make these saves, including Quacko. Quacko has advantage. Give me one moment to roll.
And on top of that, Quacko would, even if they fail, would take half. Like, would take it as if they passed. So,
okay.
Quacko is set up for success. Is the
drought... What type of roll is it?
Oh, drought would enhance it. You're right. That increases the damage.
It's a con save. DC 18 con save.
Okay. Yes.
And Quacko has advantage, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Quacko got a 16 on the save.
Natural or okay. dirty?
Dirty.
Okay. Well, then Quacko will suffer
half damage.
Correct. Because they are friendly. Mm-hmm. Also, just so you know, everyone failed except for Saki. So Metane and Nickel are getting blasted. Please roll okay. damage. Just give me the straight roll and I will modify because the humans resist and Metane is weak. So,
What is the bonus for drought?
Additional proficiency bonus to the damage modifier.
Okay, so that's an additional 5, and I have charcoal, which is an additional 4.
Oh, no! Yeah, that's true. Oh, God.
Dice. We're about to burn some kids.
Terrifier eruption.
What's the dice? 4d12 plus... I'll add the plus later. Oh, guess what? I got a 12! We're rolling another one, baby!
Oh, exploding dice.
Oh, yay. God. Yeah.
We have 30 plus 9, so 39 plus 5, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, plus 4, so 48 damage.
Very good.
And whoever, yes, Quacko takes half that. And whoever remains in the zone will continue to take 16 damage every turn for a minute.
Okay, if you
unless
doubled,
I dispel it.
If you doubled the dice without the, or just tell me what the damage modifier is total.
The damage modifier.
Is it like charcoal and drought and the bonus?
It was 9.
That's all. Okay.
Plus 5 plus 4, so 18. I could do math.
Okay, yeah, I need that to do the math for the
I'm
rest.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't apologize. That was a massive hit. Cookie summons from the sky from a point that she generates using her draconic power to rain down magma in a 20-foot circle in this Garden of the Berry Farm, igniting many things, including Metane, who is obliterated, fails the save, loses so much HP. They are completely knocked out. Nickel gets scorched up pretty good. Saki manages to kind of be on like the outside of it, and she a couple chunks of magma glance off of her body. She takes some damage, but not a whole lot. The fence also to the south of this altercation ignites and is on fire, and various grasses are on fire as well, and one single berry plant to the north of this combat is also destroyed, very unfortunately. But all in all, a successful magma storm from Cookie. What else for Cindy?
Shit.
Oh no, the
so I get an action.
You still have another action, if I'm not mistaken, and you have movement.
I am gonna send out Jack.
Jack the Incineroar, sure.
Jack the Incineroar.
You may do
and
so.
If possible, I want to place him near the section of the fence that's on fire.
Yeah.
Just so that way he could, like, if anybody tries to, like, if it fully breaks apart and there's an opening there, he can kind of cover that opening.
Okay. I think we
grapple.
Yeah, I think we've canonized that the Pokeball laser is a 30-foot range. So,
okay.
So you can get him pretty close.
Okay. Cool.
Anything else for Cindy?
I hit Nickel and Saki with the finger guns.
Okay. Good stuff.
You rock the berry farm, you get your shit rocked.
Yeah.
Finger guns.
No, that's great.
It'd be a funny canon in my head if Cindy hit the finger guns before the magma storm went off.
Yeah.
Pew, pew. Like,
pew, pew. Boom. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, the Paco has really pulled out the big guns all in one action economy as Cookie, one of the strongest Pokemon on the Paco, just unleashes a maelstrom of destruction. perhaps overkill, but, you know, Cindy doesn't have limits, so it makes sense.
You don't want to play fuck around and find out with Cindy.
No, definitely
you
not.
You will get fucked up.
And you will find out. Great. Thank you, Cindy. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Brings us to the bottom of our order, which is Gimli. Gimli runs up, joins his father, sees the commotion, sees the magma storm. He actually wasn't sure who is necessarily responsible for it, but he's concerned with it. He will run up next to his father and summon his only Pokemon that he has, his Golem. Golem hits the field, and Golem is going to... sees that Metane is knocked out and is being recalled. Will kind of do a creative... rock tomb to try and like trap Nickel, so going to roll for that. Not very successful. A couple rocks get thrown in Nickel's direction, but he manages to nimbly kind of hop over them, and we will call that for Gimli. The baddies, being Nickel and Saki, do not, they look at each other and they share a glance. They're all singed up, and Saki has a big old cut on her back from Quacko's sword. Are realizing that this is not going favorably and that they should probably skedaddle. Nickel is going to hop, or no, he's going to need to hop the fence because it got caught on fire. He's going to rush through the fence, and he's actually going to try and grab a cabbage. I'm going to roll.
Does he pass either Gimli or Jack?
We
trying
can
to hop the fence.
I thought Gimli,
that would be an attack of opportunity.
Gimli's at the gate, or Gimli's at the gate.
Yeah,
we're at the gate. He hopped the fence.
Well, he didn't even hop it because it was ignited in the magma storm. So
yeah,
but that's where I put Jack.
That is where
that's
you
where
put,
I put Jack. Literally to avoid that.
Yes. So yes. So he would be crossing Jack's path of opportunity attack.
Dope. What we feeling, gang?
Big buff kitty puff.
Well, I don't have anything that's like super effective against a
human.
Children.
Do you have a grapple?
I think fire generally is super effective.
I do
against
have
people.
As an action, so I don't know how that works as a like opportunity attack. But as an action, I can perform a melee attack to grapple a target with a contested strength check. A grappled creature cannot move and may only attack Jack on their next turn. And they're grappled until Jack lets go. Or they may roll strength or dex against Jack's strength once at the end of each turn to attempt to escape. Can I use that as my opportunity attack?
You would use a move as your opportunity attack. Oh, your grappler feat, you're saying.
Yeah, it's an ability.
Sure. We'll say why not.
Since it's an action, it would be in place of a move anyway.
Technically, this is a reaction being consumed, but yes, I think that's fine. What does Nickel need to roll?
A contested strength check.
Okay. Nickel's rolling. What is his strength score? He got a 19.
So Jack got a 19 on the die.
Okay, so
plus 4.
Yeah, so Jack will win that. What does this mean for Nickel? Oh.
They can't move and may only attack Jack on their next turn. They're grappled until either Jack lets go or they can make a strength or dex check against Jack's strength once at the end of each of their turns in an attempt to escape.
Okay. Considering that his movement has been stopped, Nickel will just use this action to try and break through, but he will not have an action afterwards if he succeeds. I think Jack would probably reroll, or it's against his strength score.
It just says against Jack's strength.
It's probably his strength score. That's probably okay. What I meant by that. So what is...
Which is 18.
Okay, Nickel got a 16, so not breaking through. From the kitty cat hug, you have him trapped.
Cat hug. Do I need to repost that picture of Jack?
No, you don't. Cindy, roll a perception.
Yeah, that's a 7.
Okay. Moving on. Saki, who is in this initiative turn for the baddies, will also do some stuff. She will start with her action, and she has classic trainer action economy. She will be sending out her last Pokemon. The last baddie Pokemon in this combat at the moment will be sent out kind of to the north of the group with the laser beam. It is a conspicuous, suspicious-looking grass-type Pokemon that appears to be roughly in the shape of Pokeballs. It is very mushroomy and sporish. She gives the command for it to use Rage Powder. Rage Powder is a 15-foot cone, and we will be having it target both Pokemon and people. Because we've drawn this map, the range of this attack will include Quacko, Cindy, Elodie, and Schmidt. Yes. So
where's the is it Amoongus?
Yeah, it is.
Is it in the magma storm?
It would not be in the magma storm.
Okay.
Is it a save?
I need to calculate this properly. It is a save. Hold on.
Okay.
I can include all those people, I think. Hold on.
I did also throw Jack into the magma storm, so that's fine.
Okay, Quacko is actually not a part of it. Just targeting Cindy, Elodie, and Schmidt. Yes.
What are we rolling?
DC 17 wisdom save.
16.
I failed.
Oh, wisdom. Dirty 18.
Okay, good.
I rolled a 17 on the die.
Very good. Cindy and Elodie, on your next turn, actually... My flavor for this says 1 minute, but because you're a human, we'll knock it down a little bit. On your next turn, your actions can only be targeting this creature. And you can
is
make
it just us? Or does that include our Pokemon?
It is just the two of you. Giving an action, giving a command would be considered an action. So.
Gotcha. So I can command this Amoongus.
So I'm thinking. I think just flavor. This is odd. Flavor-wise,
we have to attack it unless our Pokemon can act on their own free will.
I would imagine I've never been subject to Rage Powder, but I'm trying to think of how to flavor this actually. As long as the result of your action is to harm Amoongus, then it will be successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That is the condition you must meet. You can command your Pokemon to hurt Amoongus, but it has to be in efforts of harming Amoongus. That has to be the goal.
So I can't have my Pokemon attack the other Pokemon.
You can. Oh, you were... Didn't you pass?
Oh, never mind. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm freaking out over nothing. No, that's fine.
Yeah. Cindy and Elodie are in a sticky situation with Amoongus. Okay. Saki will also... Sorry.
Our friends are, at the end of their turn, are going to take 16 damage if they're in the magma storm still.
Oh, is Jack holding Nickel in the magma storm?
Yeah, it would appear so.
Yikes. Okay.
Damn.
Saki is going to...
I'll take that damage. That's fine.
Saki's going to run due south. She will trigger an attack of opportunity from Quacko. She can't run due south because those parts of the fence aren't on fire. So she's actually going to zigzag a little bit. Let me calculate her trajectory. She will run past Quacko and Jack. 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, so she's going to cut a diagonal for 15 feet and then go straight south through the burnt fence. But Quacko can swing at her.
Nice. Give me a slash. Is that a roll to hit? Still?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Dirty 24.
Okay, yeah. You can go ahead and slash her up.
Lower roll that time. 21 points of damage.
Okay.
And the half that, because it's a human. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So Saki takes a reasonably sized hit from Quacko as another chunk of her school uniform is slashed at her side. Schmidt, roll a perception.
So we know I'm great at these. Canonically. Oh, I got a 20.
You got a 20. You can tell that this individual under her clothing is wearing some electronics of some sort. You can see some wires. It seems to not be complicated or sophisticated, but there is something happening under there. They're also wearing like a bodysuit, like a power suit or something, like, or just like undergarments that are like, I'm thinking of Under Armour. I don't know why. Just in addition to their school uniforms, which would be unusual for a student to wear under their school uniforms, is what you observe. Okay, she's still standing. She's going to continue running. She's a little cut up. She's going to run past Jack. Now, this is a little challenging for Jack. Jack already used his reaction, so he doesn't have an opportunity attack, I believe. He should not.
Yeah.
So
he has to focus on the grapple.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's reaction-based. So she's going to keep running. She doesn't have an action anymore because she sent out a Moongus, but she's going to prepare to nab a cabbage, the one that is closest, the one at the top of the formation. At the start of her next turn, Gimli and Gimli, who are not otherwise occupied, will roll perceptions. This is, just for your record, this is a contested perception. You're rolling against something.
Stealth check.
I got an 11.
Okay. You do not know what you are missing. Gimli also rolled poorly here. Okay, that's it for the baddies. Back in the next round of combat, something's up.
Did Nickel take his 16 magma storm damage?
That's the end of his turn or the end of Cookie's turn?
The end of, I think it's just each, like, whoever's turn it is.
Okay.
At the end of their turn, as long as they remain in the zone.
Okay, yeah.
For a minute, or I guess until I stop the magma storm.
How much damage is it?
16.
Divided by 2. Because human resistance.
Human.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Since it's already been pointed out, you can all notice that Nickel is also wearing the same unusual undergarment, and there's some like wires that are kind of sparking and smoldering in the intense heat. How do we want to flavor friendly fire for Jack in this situation?
I'm just gonna need the damage.
Okay, I was gonna say, because it's not part of the action, which I feel like is what the feat is specified of, I'm not sure you can bend this around because it's not a controlled state. You know what I'm saying?
No, I accept the damage.
Okay. As long as we agree that's fair.
Oh, yeah. Holding up a person in a magma storm?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take the damage. Like, I understand the consequences of my own actions.
Okay, very good. Just making sure. While being grappled by Jack the Incineroar, Nickel makes an exasperated comment to his partner, Saki, saying, "We gotta get out of here." And she kind of gives a nod, but is currently focused and not communicating otherwise. And that will bring us back to Schmidt in the initiative order.
Okay. Gimme Ghoul's still sitting on the fucking window, right?
Gimme Ghoul is not there anymore.
What the hell? When did it move?
Gimme Ghoul successfully made a stealth check against 2 Paco members' perceptions and is gone.
Okay.
Gimme Ghoul's in the house.
Fuck.
We didn't, like, leave anything inside, did we?
Just an entire legendary Pokemon, you know.
Oh, right. That small detail.
Not that I know what Gimme Ghoul's going to be able to do with anything that it finds.
He's an intel guy.
Fuck, I had such a cool plan, too.
I mean, you can try and go after him, by all means.
Yeah, you can always look for him.
Yeah. Can I have Quacko... let me pull up the map. Such a cool fucking plan, guys. You had no idea. Could Quacko make it in the house with one movement?
Considering he's flying, he would have to break the window. If he dashed, he could fly in through the hole in the roof.
Yeah, but I still want to use an action. I really don't want to break the window of the house.
We will rebuild.
There's already a hole in it. Like,
all right, yeah. Send Quacko through the window. Full send.
Okay.
Quacko's done a lot of that shit lately.
Sure.
Can Quacko get a special feat where he takes reduced window damage?
We'll have him make a dex save. We've ruled this differently in the past. I think in this particular situation, I think Quacko is skilled and strong and swordsman enough to ensure breakage, but I think he does need to make a dex save to see how cut up he gets from the glass. So let's say DC 13. Should be easy.
12 on the die plus 5.
Okay.
17.
Yeah, he'll take 3 points of glass sharp stabbiness and successfully breaks the window without a doubt.
Okay. Now, since Quacko was inside, can Quacko make a perception check, which they are proficient in?
Yes, because of the proficiency in this instance, I would probably rule that the window breaking was like a bonus action, and then this could be an action, and then you'll have one additional action. Does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, make that perception check. I'm assuming you're trying to find Gimme Ghoul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirty 24.
Okay, yeah, that is sufficient. I was actually looking for 15. You are looking for Gimme Ghoul, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see a little like slot in the floorboard in this room where Elodie was sleeping, where you see a coin left behind. You, with Quacko's keen perception, he would probably just surmise, just out of the corner of his duck eye, one of the limbs of Gimme Ghoul falling underneath said floorboard and not being able to take the coin with him.
Okay. Was the LED's room on the second floor?
Yeah, it was the guest room for second floor.
So they're in the first floor. I get one more action?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I have Gabriel break a window on the bottom floor?
Yeah, you can. That's funny. How is he doing it?
I have kind of a funny thing, but I don't know if I want to do it. Gabriel gets Screech.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine he could just like scream at the window and then the shatters.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to require a roll from him for sure. I also need to ask if he wants to go in through the kitchen or the living room. Both are on the west side of the building. He has access to both.
Which would be directly below where Elodie was?
I'm going to say the living room.
Then the living room.
Okay. Yeah, he can screech at it. Give me, I think a con, actually. Give me a con check.
Oh, with a con? Okay.
Yeah, give me a con check. DC 15 to scream to shatter the window.
Well, it was 19 on the die.
Okay. Yeah, that'll do
with
it.
With Constitution, that made it a dirty 23.
Yeah. Gabriel says hello to everyone by screaming at the window. And it vibrates in such a way that all of the glass just kind of shatters, and half of it falls into the grass, and half of it falls inside of the living room. Does Gabriel enter?
Yes.
Is he going to go for a jump, or does he climb?
He's
very good at climbing.
I think he's a climber, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he'll just kind of slink up how chameleons do, just one foot after another, and climb through the window. Just a quick dexterity save for the glass. It's cut much better than Quacko's was because it was destroyed by a vibration rather than a smashing, but still at risk.
11.
11 actually is good enough in this instance. He is able to enter without taking any damage, and I believe that is probably all of your action economy. Maybe Gabriel has a bonus action. Maybe. Although Quacko did kind of do a lot, yeah. So.
I think that's it, yeah.
Okay. They are on the hunt for Gimme Ghoul. Moving on. Gimli, what are you going to do? Do you need me to describe anything, the layout of anything?
Let's see. So, like, I guess roughly on the map, where did the girl end up? Where did Saki go?
Saki ran past Incineroar through the burned fence and is now directly near where the cabbages Misty stepped to. Looking, she has the expression like she's going to pick one up.
Okay. Does Elodie plan on sanctuarying them?
You guys can metagame that. That's fine.
I was planning on having them Misty stepping away again.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah, the whole thing is Misty terrain. That's really funny. Let's see.
You could hit her with something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what to hit her with. Might just try to rock tomb her. Yeah, we're gonna try to rock tumor.
Okay.
Strength 16 saving throw.
Okay. She will make
rock
a roll.
Tumor, I barely know.
with her modifier, she gets a 14.
Okay, so now she is trapped. It's taking full damage, becoming restrained on failure.
So full damage for her is half.
Yeah, right. So she can use an action to escape with a strength save now. When it's her turn.
Okay. Does she take damage?
Roll for damage? Okay. She does. 7? Yeah.
Okay, 7 is actually enough to knock out Saki. As Toidal flings some rocks in the attempt to trap her, one of them actually bonks her on the head. And she is rendered unconscious in front of all the cabbages.
Dope.
Tie her up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll... I don't know, the only one left is the Gimme Ghoul and that Amoongus, yeah?
Correct. Well, also, Nickel is being held by Jack.
Yeah, it's like technically if Nickel beats the grapple, that's the other option.
But he's still taking magma spice.
Yeah, it's like how far away am I from Jack and them? Is it like, is movement possible or is it not like from that distance? I don't think it is.
For Gimli? To like get to Nickel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
I'll punch him while he's being held.
You're probably going to end up standing in the magma storm.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. It's
16, you half of 16, 8 damage for you at the end of your turn if you're still in it.
Yeah. No,
it would be.
You can do that. You want to punch him?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. You have advantage because he's being grappled, so.
All right. Does an 18 break his armor class?
It sure does.
Ooh-hoo. How much does punching damage do?
Usually it's 1 plus your strength mod. Unless you're a monk or something.
Just flat?
Yeah.
Okay, so I bop him in the face for 6 damage?
Yeah, sounds about right.
All right.
Yeah, he gets socked in the jaw. He's still up, but he's looking beat up and worried for sure.
Mm.
Perception check, actually.
For me? Yeah.
Yeah.
17.
You, after striking him, you pull your hand back and you look at your fist, and it looks like there is makeup on your knuckles.
I knew you weren't a child! Faker!
Spit at him.
People.
Yeah, very good, very good.
Oh my god, is it Yuri?
Is it Yuri?
Oh, I swear to god.
That would be awesome! We're gonna destroy this twink.
Destroy this twink.
Okay. Anything else for Gimli?
No, that's it.
Elodie, your actions must be an effort to damage Amoongus.
Right. So can I have the cabbages Misty step closer to the Amoongus so that they can attack him?
Yes, you may do that. Do they consume? I would assume they would be... I think they'd be required to consume the full 30-foot movement of it.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so they would take a diagonal path kind of just directly to where Amoongus is, which is just above Cindy, getting as close as possible. I think one of them is on the other side of the fence still, or like they're on top of the fence.
Don't they all have to move? Oh.
They're in a formation. They all have to do the same thing, but they will end up in different locations.
Okay.
But yeah, they do that.
And then they will... all mystical fire the Amoongus.
Oh, God. Okay. That's a roll to hit, right?
Yes.
Okay. Elodie would be giving these commands in this instance. Elodie is like infuriated and she's like, cabbage, destroy, or whatever she says. I don't know.
Yeah. Cabbage, destroy sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Roll to hit. And we'll just multiply everything by 5 effectively.
It's a 24 to hit?
Yeah. That will hit Amoongus. Should we multiply this damage by 5?
It's being hit by 5 moves.
Yeah, that just sounds like a lot. We'll do it for now. We'll do it for now. I think this combat is mostly decided.
It should have diminishing returns.
Yeah, it should. Because like a 5 times multiplier is fucked up.
There are 5 of them.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
You just want to like
that as diminishing returns for game mechanics.
Multiply the amount of dice times 5 instead of it just being like...
That's much better. Or I think honestly, considering these are like reflections of cabbage, I think we just add 5 dice.
So add 5 dice.
Yes. I think that is probably the most fair and good way to do it. That's still insane. But
yeah. It's still a lot of damage.
I think that's good. Like, they're each worth one dice. We don't know which ones are real and which ones are not. Well, only one of them is real, so.
Three of them are real. Okay, so that'll be 7d12 plus 2.
Yes, and it's super effective. God. Jeez.
Oh, shoot. I forgot it's super effective, too. So what does that mean?
Double the dice. Let's double the dice and then add the dice, please. Rather than the other way around.
So the 9d12?
Yeah. And what's the range on it, just to be sure?
30 feet.
Okay, that should be fine.
That's 58 damage.
Nice. Not bad.
Any roll it makes before the end of its next turn is rolled at disadvantage as well.
Understood. Great. Yeah, five cabbages. Pew, 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 pew. Five little mystical fiery missiles all pelt into this Amoongus, dealing significant damage. Nice job. That's an action. That's a bonus action. Anything else for Elodie? You will end your turn with another.
Amoongus?
Yeah, you can definitely punch Amoongus. Please do.
I just feel like Elodie's filled with rage at this moment.
Yeah, she is. Literally rage powder.
From the circumstances and also rage powder.
Yeah. You rolled a hit, please. Add your strength or dex.
That'll be a dirty 20 to hit.
That will hit. Roll 1 plus strength mod. I guess that's not a roll. That's just what it is.
I was gonna say, that's not. 2.
Okay. Yeah. Elodie punches Amoongus. It kind of bounces off and some spores kind of shake off. And the spores sting a little bit as this Amoongus has the effect spore ability and will return 2 points of damage to Elodie.
Worth it.
Anything else for Elodie? Do you have a bonus action you want to use? You could argue that ancestral fey magic is aggressive. You could roll it again.
Yeah, but I'm having some fun with five cabbages.
Yeah, depending on the effect, it may overwrite the duplicate effect. It just depends. But yeah, you don't have to do that.
Nah, that's it.
Okay.
Nah, we'll leave it.
Okay. Cindy, it is your turn initiative. You must, all of your efforts must be in destroying Amoongus.
All right, we're going to take the magma storm.
Okay.
And put it out. And push it somewhere else now. It would hit all the cabbages, which is not so fun. We'll just leave the magma. Because the magma storm will keep going as long as I don't do anything like super crazy.
Yeah, as long as your concentration doesn't break and you don't use it again. It should last for a minute, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I fire punch the Amoongus with Cookie?
Yeah, absolutely. Please roll to hit.
That'll be fire. And still drought, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. Oh, I guess I should have boosted Mystical Fire. Well, sorry.
How does a 29 do?
Yeah, that definitely hits. Roll
also,
super
on a natural
damage.
Because of Mystical Terrain. Misty Terrain.
Yeah, cannot be
burned.
That is correct.
Okay.
Damn it, cabbage. But ruining everything.
32.
Okay. 32 points of damage as Cookie slams into Amoongus with a fire punch.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Oh, right.
It
melee attack.
It procs
effect spore, which between my own thoughts and between Pokemon 5e's thoughts is a lot more balanced. We're just going to return some grass damage, which is resisted. So you'll take additionally 2 points of damage as the spores fall onto Cookie's hand after mace contact. And the fire doesn't seem good enough to ignite them for some reason.
They're magic spores.
Perhaps. Anything else for Cindy?
I don't think so, because if I move Jack, Jack will not do the grapple, so we're just going to leave him.
Okay.
Let him be.
I think, based on the circumstances and based on that we're going to an NPC's turn, which is Gimli, I think we can strike initiative at this point. I do want... I'll do a timer or something. I want Elodie and Cindy to make new wisdom saves for the rage powder. 16 is going to go down each turn.
That's a nat 1, chief.
Okay.
Fuck that Amoongus.
Elodie.
Nat 1.
Both of you.
Hey, let's fucking go.
Okay.
Let's go. We're pissed. We're so pissed.
Yeah, for the purposes
raging
of leaving initiative, just to...
like.
Yeah.
Never mind. Continue.
Okay. For the purposes of leaving initiative, just to enable roleplay, we will just suggest that you two will roleplay That you are still infuriated and that you will be wishing to beat Donamungus as much as possible until it is returned, which, granted that its trainer is unconscious, who knows how long that will take. So every now and then I just may ask for refreshed wisdom rolls. But before I check in with the stealth mission in the berry farm, or the house, I'm just curious on how you all are looking to resolve slash end slash address the situation.
So the magma storm's still magma storming.
Correct.
On the guy and Jack.
Correct.
So since we're like wrapping up initiative, is that another?
Yeah. Hit? Yeah. We'll give them another hit.
Jack can eat that. That's yeah. Fine.
Still not enough to fully take out Nickel. But he's like, let me go. And he's in Jack's arms and he can't seem to escape.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Are we doing like a Scooby-Doo unmasking?
Yeah. We got to unmask him.
What does this look like, Gimli?
I tried to pull on his head like a Scooby-Doo cartoon thing just to reveal the mask, and it probably will hurt him.
Okay, yeah. This individual is not wearing a mask. He has some singed hair on his head that you tug on, and he says, oh, what the hell are you doing?
I want to see who's putting this mask.
Nickel says, no mask. I'm just trying to leave.
Get information.
Oh, cracks knuckles.
Well, you're gonna have to tell me why you're trying to kidnap Cabbage.
Okay. Nickel says, just taking orders. Nothing personal. We were just assigned to come here. And God, is Saki okay?
You've made
no,
it personal.
Probably not.
One, you definitely made it personal. Two, I don't really care if she's okay. I'm talking to you, and you're talking to me right now.
Nickel seems exasperated. He says, well, if you're going to keep us hostage, could you at least, like, I don't know, get her awake or something?
No. Worry about her later. We're still talking.
And meanwhile, of course, Jack is just hugging this man to his chest.
Yep.
With the punch and the magma and the sweat, you can see that this individual is wearing makeup to some degree, and as it kind of leaves at least the half of the face that they were punched, you can see like some stubble. You can see that this person is definitely not a student. They're probably in like a young adult, but they are older than someone in high school, that is for sure.
So why y'all pretending to be children so you can sneak up and kidnap our beloved friend Cabbage here?
Nickel will say, just boss's orders. We're just taking a job. That's all it is.
Right, but which boss? Is it Yuri?
Roll. You're asking if it's Yuri?
Yeah.
Roll an insight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a pretty bad insight. Seven?
You still have your Elodie's party time, right?
I do have Elodie's party time. Yeah. Was that an 8?
Is it a D8?
Yeah, it's a D8.
Not much. That's a 9 now.
Yeah, Nickel is, you know, still kind of writhing in Incineroar's arms and says, I'm not telling.
Oh, you're gonna tell. They always talk after a little bit of convincing.
Like Gimli has experience in this? They always
I'm gonna rough it up people. You don't need to know that.
Yeah, I guess that's yeah. True. New character building, I suppose.
I've roughed up a couple people in my time.
Yeah, your son like, is here, and he's a little like he's like, yeah, go dad, but then he's also like a little confused by that statement.
So intimidation, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, I crit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you're pretty scary. that's mm-hmm. all that needs to be done. Yeah. Nickel will spill the beans. He says, yes, okay, you're right. Yes, it was Yuri. We're members of Team New Rocket Galactic, and we were sent on a mission to come here. We don't know why, but we were told we had to capture the Alcremie.
Does it have to do with the moon?
Yuri to fucking shove it!
Are you asking if it has something to do with the moon?
Yeah, does it have to do with the moon?
Yeah, you're going to roll an insight, but Nickel says, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. I don't know if they have much else information. We know it's Yuri. We know why they're here. All right, what do y'all want to do, gang?
I want to know if Yuri got my letter.
Are you going to ask this to Nickel?
I guess. Did Yuri get a unique piece of mail that may or may not have been threatening?
Nickel, who is now getting pelted by the magma storm again, says, I have no idea. I don't track his mail.
Cool.
So how did they know we were here? How did you get that order? Do you know?
Nickel says, we were just given an address and we were told to go to it. All of the characteristics of the assignment and the costumes, that was all designed before we were assigned.
So who are you?
He, you know, I'm assuming Cindy's going to be like behind him. So he shouts over in Cinnamon's shoulder. He says, my name is actually Nickel and I'm a member of Team Neo Rocket Galactic.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Can I get
nice. About your? Oh, sorry.
Can I get DC 15 Wisdom saves from Elodie and Cindy?
I have failed.
Okay.
Nat 20. We're good.
Okay. Cindy is free. Elodie is still upset. Amoongus is literally just chilling though. Amoongus hasn't received a command. It seems like it's actually kind of settling into like the farm soil and it's having a good time. But Elodie is still so mad at it.
He's just so sus.
He is so sus. Cindy is going to ask Nickel how much he knows about his fellow NRG colleagues.
He says, well, Saki and I have been assigned together before, so I feel like they like to pair us because we're a pretty dynamic duo. Other than that, I don't really talk to the grunts much. We just meet up and exchange words, and we aren't friends or anything. Why are you asking me this?
Do you know River and Beckett?
Ooh. Ooh-hoo.
Ooh-hoo.
Yeah, make that history check. Yeah. Nickel says, yeah, I met those guys. They're fucking weird.
Yeah, you think they're fucking weird? They're my parents.
Nickel, even though he's being restrained by Incineroar, makes like a dramatic, exasperated face. Like, and he says, yeah, no one likes them. They're really bad at assignments, and they're always doing their own thing, and they won't shut up about Team Aqua.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. That old tracks.
That's tracks.
Definitely them. That's definitely them, yeah.
Nickel says, I heard that they were originally signed for this partner assignment, and then Yuri actually told them that they couldn't do it, and they chose us instead.
Oh, that also makes sense.
Well, because they would have insider knowledge of this location.
Do you say that?
No.
Okay.
What should I say? Like, I love that for them. I'm glad they're not like actually good at being energy grunts. I will say that though. That's fine.
Okay. Oh, gang, we did learn a lot. They know where we are. We do need to figure that
Yuri
out.
Yuri came to this place before.
Yeah, but they know we're here.
Oh.
That's very relevant.
Since Nickel's being grappled, would it be unhinged to have Jack use Fire Fang?
Oh my god.
Jesus.
I mean, if you
is
want.
Is that overkill?
Yeah, but you can do it.
Yeah.
you can do it. It's fine.
Brutal.
You want to torture people.
It's okay. Child-on-child violence is totally fine.
He's not a child.
Oh, child-on-adult violence.
That is a grown man.
Sorry. Yeah, child-on-adult violence is totally acceptable.
Yeah, that is an adult man. That is an adult human being.
Even better.
I won't firefang him yet, but he's still being grappled. I'm gonna tell him, you guys are going to leave. After we get whatever information we want, you guys are gonna leave.
Why don't we take them to the police?
Oh, we could do that. But then how do we send a message to NRG to not come back?
We did already send the fuck you to Yuri.
We did. That's probably why he sent them here.
We also have to leave here. They will come back with a lot of people. They probably sent like a little recon squad because they were like, well, this is the base of operations. I guess we should check it out to make sure they're there.
But we got buddies in the basement.
Shit, yeah, we can't leave them there.
I know, we have to figure out what to do next with that. I wasn't going to leave them there.
I know.
But we can't stay here. It's not safe anymore. Especially if you just let them go back to their bosses. I think the cops is the best option.
We're going to turn you guys into the police.
Yep.
We have a in with the Marvel police.
Yeah.
Nickel says... That's fine. I'm actually looking forward to a free meal.
Well, damn.
That's so fair.
That's kind of sad, bud.
They don't pay you well.
They say, well, they give us barracks, so we don't have to pay rent. So in that sense, we get paid well.
That sucks. You should get a better rate. Like, there are so many better things.
Do you like make above minimum wage at least?
You guys should unionize.
Yeah, you should unionize.
Roll the persuasion.
Do we need to report energy to the Better Business Bureau? Like, or not better.
I kind of think so. 21.
Yeah, Nickel is feeling kind of inspired. He's like, you know, these working conditions do suck. I end up getting caught in a magma storm, and I don't get paid very well, and I get bad food, and I don't have a lot of control over my work assignments. I think you're right. I think it's time that we took a stand.
Yeah, like, you don't seem like a bad guy. You're just in a bad circumstance, right? So you should, at the very least, yeah, fight for your own rights. That's what we always do in the mines, and it's dangerous work.
Nickel says, you know, that's a generous judgment of character, but I'll take it. Yeah, we should definitely improve our situation here. This isn't great. I'm not having fun.
I think so. Well, either way, we're gonna
no, yeah, but like, we'll check in on a simultaneous thing. It's not we're not wasting time on that. Sorry.
Oh my god. Gimme Goal is just fucking getting away.
No. It's like time pause. yeah. We're chilling.
Yeah.
Sorry, wasting time on that wasn't what I meant. I meant like time. The clock isn't ticking for that thing. Is
right.
What
right.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Fair. Yeah. I think we'll take you and your partner here for time in jail for three hots in a cot, and you guys can figure out a plan on how you're going to unionize NRG and figure it out from there. I think that's not a bad shout.
Despite the fact that like a evil organization probably doesn't give a shit about unionizing, Nickel feels inspired and he says, "Yeah, you know, this is a really good idea. I'm all for it." It seems that you've developed some kind of rapport with this criminal, and. Yeah, you've had enough good roles, I think. He will say, you know, I know what you're thinking. Why did they just send us if they know where you are? I kind of had that same question. It's like, why are we even doing this reconnaissance if your base of operations is established?
Yeah, it's understandable.
Do they have anything to say about that?
Nickel shakes his head no, and he says, it wasn't in the debriefing. We were just assigned to come here, but I thought it was kind of strange. If this was so important, which we don't know this level of it, we just know that River and Beckett were replaced because they were considered not fit for the job.
That tracks.
It's just curious. That's all.
Where did River and Beckett go?
Ooh.
What did they do instead?
Rolling a history. Nickel says, I don't know. They're always off to some weird shit. I saw them taking a boat up north in the ocean. Not sure what their plan is, but I'm sure it wasn't one of their assignments.
So they can do whatever they want, but you guys have to do your jobs.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. They shouldn't be part of the union once you guys unionize, honestly.
Nickel says, yeah, it was some sort of bullshit clause about how they were adopted from Aqua, but it's not even like they've ever left Aqua. Like, they still wear the bandanas.
That's really funny, actually.
That tracks. I mean, we found the sticker inside the volcano.
Yeah, but cosplaying Aqua members while you're in a different organization is just really funny.
They're looking for Kyogre.
I know. They love Kyogre, dude.
They love Kyogre too much.
Yeah, honestly, it's kind of weird. I get it. I get why you think so weird.
Based on the initiative order that we had previously, that went Schmidt and then Baddies, let's just do that. You can just start with Kecleon, Quacko, and then we'll follow up with Gimme Ghoul.
Okay, question with turn, move, what's the word I'm looking for?
Economy,
yes. Yeah. Could I have Quacko fly from the second floor to the first floor through both the broken windows, be able to identify where the gimmick ghoul is, and then also make an attack? And then also have Kecleon make an attack, because I can wrap this up in one turn, if not.
I would think if we're... Okay, yes. I'm going to say yes. I think we're going to have to make some rolls to justify it, but they're not going to be too crazy of rolls. So, you know, flying out of the window and then, like, diving... And then swooping into the next one will be a feat of acrobatics. I'm looking for a DC 14 from Quacko to achieve that without draining action economy.
That was a 10.
Okay. Fuck. It's up to you if you want to say that is the thing that we do as far as movement goes, or if you want to change your plan, I'm open to that as well.
I just don't even really care anymore.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Because it's a fucking ghost type, but I put color change on it, and so I need Quacko to fucking hit it to change it from ghost type so I can have Kecleon use bind on it.
Oh. That's pretty fucking sick.
Yeah. I've been waiting an hour and a half to do that shit.
I'm sorry. I think there's a way that we can justify it.
Can Quacko just fly down and then air slash through the window, like from the outside? Could we justify that?
I'm going to suggest that all this course of action that you've determined as far as going to the second floor, I think Schmidt and or Quacko would understand that at the time that they saw Gimme Ghouls slip through the floorboard, that they wouldn't actually be at the first floor. They would be in like the scaffolding, not scaffolding, but just like the insulation that separates the floors, that they would actually be down there. So if you would like to change your plan to be more akin to like maybe prying open the floorboard or something, because Gimme Ghoul is not on the first floor.
Okay.
Gimme Ghoul is in the floor.
A telltale heart part
two. The walls.
So we can rescind the whole acrobatic feat if you would like.
Use the leak as a crowbar.
Okay, yeah. I guess just, yeah. Hit open the floorboards.
Okay. What is there a means for it? Anything specific?
Just whacking it with the leak.
Okay.
I imagine Quacko's like making like clean cuts in the floorboard and it's like causing like a bunch of them to like fly up.
Okay, sure. So, sorry, is it precise or is it brute? I think is the question I want to ask. It will still be a dex check regardless, but I just want to know how Quacko's going about it.
Brute.
Okay. In that case, you will succeed. Give me just a dex roll.
15.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. You just smash through the floor, like, you know, it's been like an hour, but Quacko just saw Gimme Ghoul as he slipped through the floor, so he'll smash into it with his leak, and just give me a d20 roll.
9.
Okay, yeah. And he also manages to, it's exactly the location where Gimme Ghoul slipped through, and he manages to pin him. He struck exactly in the correct spot, not necessarily dealing damage, but Gimme Ghoul is caught under Quacko's leak.
Oh, like a bug with a fly swatter. That's yes. Funny, actually.
Yes, exactly like that.
Okay. If he's pinned, does that end initiative or can it, do I still have movement with Gabriel?
Yeah, I would run Gabriel first.
Okay, could I have Gabriel run up there and then try to bind? No, he's still ghost type. Fuck.
That was that second roll was determining what type he was still. That isn't to say he can't be contained. It just the effectiveness of that move type, correct?
Yeah, it's normal. And it's a damaging normal move.
Yeah. He is slippery by design, but for now he is pinned.
Gimme Ghoul no longer has their coin, right?
Correct. They don't have it.
Okay. I think I'm still going to run Gabriel up there. And I think I'm just going to try to thief him just for the damage.
Sure. Yeah, we can say that he makes it up there in plenty of time because he's pinned down. And yeah, you can roll to hit for thief.
That is a 9.
Yeah, 9 does not meet the armor class of Gimme Ghoul. However, with Kecleon having a keen eye for valuable things, and it seems that Gabriel may have a history of pickpocketing, he does see the coin that was left in the wreckage of the floorboards, and he's interested in it, and he is curious about pocketing it. Would Schmidt from outside approve this decision?
Sure. Is that like a bonus action? Or
yeah. Yeah. Because we'll say that the thief failed because he got distracted. He was like, why am I thiefing if the treasure is right here, right? So Gabriel will pick it up and kind of tuck it into his coiled tail, and he feels very proud about it.
Power move, eat the coin.
It's also at this time that Gimme Ghoul kind of makes like a squeal, like meh, like he's very unhappy with this course of events, and is still currently pinned under Quacko's leak.
Okay. I think that's the end of my turn economy.
Okay. With the unusual invader situation being dealt with Nickel and Saki being defeated and their Pokemon, the only two remaining being Amoongus and Gimme Ghoul in states where they are not particularly threatening, being about 10 a.m. on a weekday morning on Route 123 outside of Mauville City, that's where we will end the session with the Paco. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of Dunsparce and Drampop. I'd like to give an extra special thanks to our latest patron. They are Double J. If you are interested in getting access to bonus content like post-show discussions for every group episode, information about our Session Zero, and even our forgotten, deleted episode that was never released, check out our Patreon where you can join with a free trial. You can choose a different tier of patron based on what you're interested in, and you can find all of the audio integrated with your Patreon account on a separate Spotify channel, Dunsparce and Drampop Patreon. Patreon audio, which automatically links up to your Patreon account. You can find those links as well as all of our other links at linktree.ee/dunsparce, linktr.ee/dunsparce. Thank you so much for listening to this adventure so far. We're coming up on that juicy episode 100. We'll see you for episode 89 on July 23rd.
Amazing. And we didn't even have to kill, torture, or kidnap any children.
Well, Saki did get hit in the head with a rock.
And we did set one of them on
fire. She wasn't a child, though.
True.
None of them are children.
Cindy's the only child currently. And Gabriel. Gabriel's a child. In the sense that we love him.